Hello and welcome to the Popcorn Junkies. I am reviewing Saw X. I feel like I've actually escaped the clutches of some of his dastardly traps. The terrible traps of the Jigsaw. Are you a Jigsaw fan? Are you a fan of the Saw? You know, it's body horror, isn't it? Deep, dirty, nasty, kind of squelchy, gloopy, squeezy, slicey, choppy, dicey, all that kind of stuff. It's not actually a franchise I've ever particularly got into. It's the whole sort of John Kramer. John Kramer's the dude. John Kramer's the man. John Kramer's this kind of perverted, kind of twisted, kind of sort of highly moralistic psychopath with the most inventive architectural brain, engineering brain in the world, so that he can create the most monstrous traps out of which he likes to give everyone just a modicum of hope, just a little opportunity to find and achieve redemption. And actually, I'm saying all of this because Saw X, of all of the films in the Saw franchise, has received one of the highest, I kid you not, one of the highest Rotten Tomatoes scores in the Saw franchise history. It's currently sitting at 81%. Now, again, as I say, I'm not an aficionado of the genre. I don't know the franchise too well. I've seen one or two. I think I saw Spiral was one of them too, wasn't it? With Chris Rock? Am I right in thinking that? And I've seen an early one. And I was struck by how inventive the various ways of dismembering, chopping and trapping and providing hope. It's like the crystal maze on crack. It's like the crystal maze on ketamine and acid and crack and spice. And then all wrapped together, they come up with these incredibly sort of inventive and really kind of punishing and hideous kind of sort of way. Tortures. It's torture. It's torture film. Torture film. And now this is the kind of film that many of you, know Nadia does too, say, you've got to be sick to watch this shit. You've got to be sick to get off on this shit. I have to confess, I've not often felt that sort of, as far as I'm concerned, I think everything is ripe to be filmed as long as it doesn't exploit anyone, as long as it's kept away from people who are too young. But if over a certain age you feel you want to go to something like this, I don't think this is the kind of thing that necessarily dehumanizes, but I know there's a lot of people who think that it does. Do you think that? I sometimes think this kind of material can be cathartic, but then if we can stand and sit and think that actually hardcore porn and all that kind of stuff can have a really sort of corrosive effect on youngsters and young men and young women, then why wouldn't or couldn't or maybe doesn't this kind of stuff too? Okay, so why has this got so this film, Saw X, is parked, as I understand it, I think between Saw 2 and Saw 3 or Saw 4. We've gone back in time, as I say. Jigsaw, or John Kramer, is that his name? John Kramer is back, but he's not back. He's not back from the dead. This is before he died. But he's trying to get well. He's going to Mexico. He's got cancer. He's at the end of his life. He needs treatment and he wants treatment. So he seeks help and he heads off to Mexico, interestingly, which has in and of itself a cultural obsession with death. If you're a kind of inventive, incredibly kind of, you know, clever and sophisticated torturer, then there's no better place to go and try and get well and get healed and get sort of repaired than going to Mexico. So he heads off to this kind of allegedly incredibly exclusive, incredibly expensive sort of place in order to get sort of some treatment. But of course, he's parting with $250,000 or a huge amount of money in order to do this. Just to add, as is the way with any good horror film, right at the beginning, and I'm gonna sneeze, my kidney just came out then, because of course I've sawed a hole in the side of my torso. Right at the beginning of this, we have a moment which actually is quite interesting. I can't work out if this moment actually happened or not. We have a scene where John Kramer in a hospital sees a guy about to steal something from the drawer next to a dying or dead patient. We then cut to what I presume is what happened to either him or to someone else like this porter who did something similar. And we see a man, which is in the poster for the film, with these great big tubes coming out of his eyes and a mask and all this kind of stuff. And he has his fingers attached to sort of pulleys on a chair. And we encounter and we go through something called, I kid you not, an eye vacuum suction trap. No prizes for guessing what this does. This, essentially, he has to nominate his fingers to be cut or to be pulled back and snapped completely. And they're held right back. I mean, I can do that because I have double jointed fingers. So they literally go, phing. Wouldn't hurt me. I'd survive this. I wouldn't lose my eyes. And of course, he goes through more and more and more of those. But the more pain he gets, the less likely he is to go through more pain. And so he doesn't do it. He screams and his eyes get sucked out of his eye sockets. It was horrible. It was gruesome. It was inventive, and I can see lots of people wearing this kind of thing to some of the parties that I know go on in Vauxhall. Vauxhall is a funny place. Anyway, so we had that moment right at the front, sort of bit of horror, body horror, of true horror, where you're like, no, no. And this film, I was literally like sat at the front of the cinema going, no, I was eating a chicken Spielburger. I was having like a Cajun chicken. And the guy, bless him, he brought it in. He said, you might not want to eat this at this point because they're about to suck his eyes out. And I said, spoiler. Anyway, I'm eating it and the eyes go. I mean, obviously that would be more eyes than just two, but they're sucked out. It's not pleasant. Anyway, so that was a kind of like, just to remind us of just what a psychopath and what a nutter John Kramer is. But is John, this is the question for you saw aficionados out there. Is John Kramer actually a psychopath? Or is he just a freedom fighter? Is he a sort of moral crusader? Because I think that's what this film is very much trying to suggest. Is he fair? He only punishes people who are despicable and horrible and evil and do bad things. And even then, he gives them the opportunity to frantically scrabble for survival. So it's not just death. Is he fair? I think he might be. So he's terminally heads off, he goes to Mexico, he does all this stuff, he goes on the slab, they sort of pretend to do an operation. And quite quickly we begin to realise, hang on a minute, is everything as it seemed? I have to say, this film spent quite a lot of time really slamming home the actor Tobin Bell's acting credentials. I never stopped to even think of him. I often thought, God, who is this guy who plays this sort of deeply disturbed kind of psychopath with the most inventive, torturous mind in cinematic history? And actually, I have to confess, I thought Tobin Bell played it really nicely. I thought, within a sort of pulp, B-movie, franchise reboot, rinsing of a franchise kind of, IP, I thought Tobin Bell was giving it more than this genre film necessarily wanted of him. But he gave it a bit more, and I thought that was nice because it actually carried a good 20 minutes at the front of the film. That said, there was some appalling acting around him. I have to say, a big shout out has to be given to Sinove Makodi-Lund, who played the sort of malevolent, fraudulent surgeon S. So bad. I mean, so bad, it just has to be said. I mean, I don't know, it's just so bad. So he heads off, he goes there, he has this operation. Lots of kind of plaintive shots of him looking out at sunsets, the meaning of life, is he going to be repaired? We all know, because we're sat in the cinema having paid to see Saw X, knowing we've only seen an eye sucked out, that we're going to see a lot more. So we know this isn't going to go well. And of course, what happens is he discovers it's a con, it's a big con, it's Big Pharma. It's Big Pharma, it's pharmaceutical fraud. And that means that our dear John Kramer is basically going to kidnap, corral, pull together all of those people who were in the surgery theatre, the theatre of surgery, when they weren't opening his brain. In fact, what they were doing was playing a really old DVD of someone else showing you how to do surgery. And when he looked sort of bleary-eyed at it, it was actually, he was watching a DVD playing, so it was that much of a con. So I like the conceit. There was, so we had a lot of emoting for Tobin Bell's character, a few philosophical longueurs as he kind of looked out around the world and kind of thought about things. And then basically he discovered he'd been completely conned. They'd taken his money and now they were going to pay. And boy, were they going to pay. And as I say, the whole thing clearly pivots around the sense that he wants to give everyone a fighting chance. Now, you could argue, how much of a fighting chance is this? Because as I was saying to someone on social media recently, who's a huge fan of the Saw franchise, the first person in the... So you've got four people in there now. You've got the surgeon, you've got the helper, you've got all the people who conned him into parting with his money and making him think that he was going to be made to feel better. They're all in there. You're all done. The pretend kind of anesthesiologist. All of them. You're all done. It's curtains, mate. You're all going to be tortured and tortured there. So the first one, so we get cracking quite literally, cracking, slicing, flaying, burning, poaching, popping, hobbling, all that kind of stuff. So the first girl this was just hideous, and I'm going to talk you through these because I went through them and I'm fucked if you're not going to go through them too. She had to essentially, without getting too into too much detail, do this. She had a cheese wire, and so she had to, and it was a, and the cheese wire was beneath her thigh. So she had to pull the cheese wire and she had to frantically cheese wire her leg off in a certain amount of time, 3 minutes, I think. This is like the Crystal Maze. You've only got a certain amount of time. But within that 3 minutes, not just do that, she's got to get that done. But then after that, she then has to put essentially a sophisticated turkey baster into her femur, is it? Into her bone, and extract bone marrow of a certain weight to make a lever come down and thus release her. If she doesn't, what happens? Well, if she doesn't, cheese slicing her leg off through her thigh looks like a really tasty alternative to having her head chopped off. So what happens? She cuts through her leg. But does she baste in time? No. So she loses her leg and her head. Pretty sick, and especially the detail of the slightly fatty bone marrow stuff. It's not for the faint-hearted, this. Not for the faint-hearted. And so we move through these, and then we have another one. We have the chap who has to scalp himself, and then he has to cut a little kind of skull cap, literally, out of his skull. And then he has to take a part of his brain. He has to sort of incise and take out and extract a part of his, a certain weight of his brain, put it in a plate, and only then, once it's fizzed through acid and created enough kind of acid energy, can he be free. I mean, there's nothing worse than watching a man with a camera trying to, well, he saws his head open and then trying to get gloopy stuff out of his head. My eyes kept going. I kept thinking his eyes were going to go, you know, all over the place, because you fiddle around with your brain, it ain't good. So that was him. And then someone else has a radiation, I mean, you know, someone else has this radiation kind of permeator, a heat machine that keeps getting closer to her, unless she kind of actually breaks her wrist or breaks her leg. It's vicious stuff. It's vicious stuff. And all the while, you've got John Kramer watching on in this sort of weird, curious, sort of Alan Shearer-esque kind of grandstand room at the top, at the back of the warehouse, kind of looking down. Like, you know, you expect Wrighty to kind of, Ian Wright to kind of pop up and go, how's the match going? But he's just looking and he's impassive. But he's giving them chances. And, you know, his voice comes on and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's the voice. You've got this amount of time to do this. You've got this amount of time to do all that. But then, of course, the big baddie is the chief surgeon. She's the worst actress in the whole thing. She was unbearable to watch. I found her unbearable to tolerate. It was just awful. And her and her love interest, who was her love interest? Who played him? Stephen Brand. He wasn't great. They weren't great. So basically, then it becomes, and then basically she manages to turn the tables on him. She manages to pull something out of the bag. Suddenly we've got John Kramer's on a thing. We've also got Amanda, whatever her name is, his kind of assistant or kind of accomplice, Amanda Young. Where's she come from? I haven't seen the other film, so I don't know who she is, but she looks mental. She looks totally batshit crazy. She's got those strange sort of no eyebrows that make you go, you're mad. But then you always have, and there were those moments where you just felt she might rescue someone. And that's where these films kind of work, isn't it? You sort of think, oh, come on, show some compassion. So show some feeling. Let this one, save this one. And of course, we just plow on towards this huge denouement where actually Sinove, Dr. Cecilia, whatever her name is, the doctor who's kind of conned him, it looks like she's going to get away with it. And then we have this curious situation where Tobin Bell, or, you know, Jack Kramer, manages to sort of turn the tables in one last Rubik's Cube kind of twist. I have to say, I'm going to say this now, this wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be absolutely turgid and ridiculous. The gruesomeness, you have to go into this gruesomeness thinking, this isn't real, this is stupid, this couldn't happen, no one does this. But it's very hard to sell it to anyone. It's very hard to argue with someone who says, this is sick, you're sick, it's sick, they're sick, everyone's sick. Well, okay. I'm sick in this instance for finding anything in this of any vague interest. I think it was an interesting swan song for Tobin Bell. I think, you know, obviously he's the franchise favourite. I thought he proved that he can actually act. I thought that was quite good. I have to say, I was laughing, not laughing in a sort of like psychopathic way, but laughing with nerves. I mean, I think a lot of horror films work on the premise that you're so scared, you're so batshit scared, you're laughing out of nerves, like you're maybe farting out of nerves too. And so I was sort of marvelling at the kind of ingenuity of these devices and ways in which to kind of make people kind of try and save themselves by lopping bits of themselves off and all that kind of stuff. It was a bit obvious at the edges. It was a bit, you know, genre, but it for me, it was one of those things that seems to work quite well at the moment. It was a mildly entertaining, shocking, extreme enough kind of B-movie horror film on a Friday night that kept me, I didn't feel so sick that I had to put my Cajun chicken burger down. So it didn't work that badly. So don't go if you're feeling, it's cheesy as hell, the acting. The final scene is a bit shit too, with the two of them trapped in the office and all that kind of stuff. But I do, you know what? I think the most interesting thing about the whole thing is this idea of this psychopathic character who actually, in many regards, is the goodie. Is he, in a sense, the sort of most extreme version, or the most extreme twisted manifestation of, say, a Travis Bickle character, you know, like Taxi Driver? You know, he's kind of going out there. He's a kind of an avenger, isn't he? He's avenging the kind of wrongs of society. He's gone out there to kind of do good, but in doing good, he's doing so much that's wrong. But there we go. But it's a film in which, you know, there's slicing, there's chopping, there's dicing, there's flaying, there's wiring, there's gouging, there's gushing, there's whipping, there's burning, there's sizzling, and that's just in the kitchen. So yeah, I think if you've got a bunch of mates, you want to get a little bit drunk, or you're going to watch it on streaming, yeah, get a bunch of friends around, but and you'll squeal like mad. you'll squeal like mad. It's but believe me, you will not look at a cheese. Well, I don't have a cheese wire. I've never seen a cheese wire, but you won't look at your thigh in the same way again. If I was to give it a score, it's nowhere near any of the greats like Barbarian in recent years. I'd give it 65. It was better than I thought it was going to be.